Good morning. Pray this is all about the Lord. I'm going to jump right in because we've got a long day. It is good to be together. So I want you to think, what's the best defense from a lie? Did you read my... Knowing the truth. Amen. Knowing the truth. In his second letter, Peter warns Christians about false teachers. And in so doing, he reminds us of some great truths of our faith. Peter uses some form of the word to know at least 16 times in 2 Peter. And he concludes his letter with these two summary commands if you look at the end of chapter 3. Number one, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Well, how do I do that? Number two, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, to help me get the big picture, because I really like the details, I checked several outlines, and in this case, my favorite was MacArthur's because it was the simplest, and he uses the word to know in his outline. And then I changed it a little bit. Chapter 1, know your Savior, salvation, sanctification, and Scripture. Chapter 2, know your adversaries. Chapter 3, know your prophecy. So the end of chapter 1 reminds us to know our Scripture because it's always been sure. And Scripture, not experience, must be our prescription glasses to see the truth clearly. So on that note, let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us in knowing Him better, our salvation better, and our sanctification better. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. I pray that we would indeed know you, Savior and Lord, better. That we would know our salvation better. That we would know our sanctification better. That we would know your word, Scripture, better. And I pray that you would stir us up, those of us that are Christian, to make every effort to grow in that faith and be sure of your call and your choosing. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, there's only two commands. As best I understand it, in the ESV, if you look at verse 5, it's the word supplement. And in verse 10, it's the word or words, be diligent. Now, since verse 5 begins with, for this very reason, we need to look at verses 1 to 4. I did not put that in the insert. You'll have to open your Bible for that. It's not going to come up here. But let's look at that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. That word obtained is received in other versions, but it's a word used for a lot. It even goes back to in the Septuagint. It's used in Proverbs 16:3. Every lot cast into the lap belongs to the Lord. But God allots us. God gives us this special saving faith. How does He give it? By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, the very next part of the verse. That's how. Christ is righteous because He's God. And He became fully man. Also, thus His death on the cross is the only propitiation. How many of you know that word? Maybe we'll say only atonement, only appeasement for sin. He made it possible for God to forgive us of our sin. You want to read more about that? Look at Romans chapter 3, which I don't think I put on the list there. But Romans 3 gets into that a little more if you want to read that. And His resurrection proves that God accepted His Son's sacrifice. Now Peter continues, look at verse 2, and this is, I'll hit this again later. May grace and peace, and we're talking about the greatest grace and the greatest peace, be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who, and let's stop there a second. Notice the in and the through. In and through the knowledge of Christ. Paul tells us in Romans 10 and Romans 1, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Notice Peter also said God or Christ's power, divine power, has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He gives it all. And Christ called us to his own glory and excellence. That is, he called us to be like him. In light of that gift of salvation and that gift of faith, as I read this in Ephesians 2, and his call being based on his will, as you look at Romans 9 and Ephesians 1, not our will, we can know this is more than just hearing the gospel. Verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Look at all God has done. For this very reason, look at all he's done to save us. We're saved to leave sin behind and grow up in Christ. So where can we find all those precious and very great promises? Know your scripture. I think of the guy from camp. Those of you who went to Grace Bible Camp. When he comes out, what do the scriptures say? I love that. But that's the question we need to be asking whenever we're facing whatever it is. So Peter also began his first letter talking about some of these same things. And I want to remind you of some of that. If you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, look at what he says here. What God's done. To those who are elect exiles, he chose. Verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, that's more than just, they're going to do that. Has to do with his will. In the sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, sets us apart. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father. I'm sorry, I skipped. Sanctification of the Spirit. For obedience to Jesus Christ. He doesn't save us to keep doing our own thing. He saves us to start obeying him. And for the sprinkling with his blood. That's getting back to that propitiation, atonement, that covering. May grace, here it is again, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Think about that being multiplied to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. Remember, mercy is not deserved. Justice is, but mercy and grace are not deserved. May it be multiplied. Let's see. He has caused us to be born again. What baby ever chose to be born? Jesus? But that's it. And then he goes on. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That sounds very secure to me. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith. Talk about shield of faith. That's got to be the best shield bearer there is. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God even keeps and guards our salvation inheritance through faith. Look at all God does. You can read more from Romans 8 and Ephesians 1 and 2 sometime to see more of what he's done in our salvation. But understand that eternal security is a fact for a Christian because it's based on God's work, not ours. But assurance of salvation is another matter. And it's related to our sanctification, which is one of a part of several parts of our salvation, as I understand it. And all of that really is about our Savior. Know your Savior. Know your salvation. Know your sanctification. So let's look at these two commands. The first one in verse 5. For this very reason, look at all God's done to save us. Make every effort to supplement your faith. supplement, supply, add to my faith. Really? Add to my faith? Well, that Greek word there has to do with richly supply everything needed for an ancient chorus to be a grand production, or lavishly outfit all that is needed to accomplish a grand objective. And I think when you look at that word in the Greek, it makes me think of choreographer. It's a little bit akin to that. But what can we add if Christ's divine power has already granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness? What can we add? Well, I want you to think about the time you received a precious gift that you really wanted. Did you leave it in the box? Yesterday, somebody gave me a precious gift, a new computer. And it was humbling, but I did not leave it in the box. And I've got a lot to learn about it. It'll be my computer that falls apart, probably, but I want to use that to write more sermons. I want to avoid the traps on the internet. I want to learn how to set it up to best help me pay the bills and stay in contact with you and others. But I don't leave it in the box. I've got to grow in my ability to use it and take advantage of it. And I'm sure you could think of all kind of gifts. You wouldn't just say, oh, isn't that pretty, and leave it over there. You'd have to use it. Well, it's the same way that with this precious gift of faith that God has given us. Even more so. Consider what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1. I preached on this Mother's Day, at the end of chapter 1 and beginning of chapter 2. He tells us, Christian, that we are born again by God's Word, and we are also to crave His Word like newborns crave mom's milk, so that we can grow up in our salvation. Consider the two comparisons. First, God plants His Word, and it produces a Christian. His Word does not return void. It will accomplish its purpose and succeed. You, Christian, have been born again. You have been given a new nature. New life grows. Apple seeds produce apples. God's Word will produce little Christians. And secondly, God provides His Word. And to the degree that you crave it and enjoy it, you'll grow up in it, becoming more and more like Christ. Consider how much a mom enjoys feeding her newborn. Oh, nice little baby. We got a special time together, just the right eye distance, all that kind of thing. You want to do that forever. Think about when that child wakes up and starts feeding itself. And think about the day when they start cooking for you and bring it to you in bed. Or maybe they take your recipe and they cook it for church. And everybody just loves their cooking. And you're like, yep, I know why. They learn from me. Well, just as you want to see your children grow up, God wants His children to grow up. He expects it. He gave us pastors and teachers to equip each of us to do the work of the ministry so that we can grow up together speaking the truth in love to one another. Every one of us, not just somebody up here. Every one of us, every day. A timely fashion, a loving way, not beating people up, and not running from them either. And then think about this. God works all things together to what? Conform His children into His image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, listen to this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So yes, add to your faith. So what exactly are we to add to our faith? And how do we do it? Well, let's go through the list here. The first one is virtue. You might call that moral excellence or goodness. Philippians 4:8. I used to, I remember in college literally thinking this. Well, Lord, she's true and honorable and just and pure and lovely. Can I think about her? No, God is the only one that makes it through this whole sieve. Listen to it. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, Any virtue, that's that word. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What do you think about? Where do you spend your time? What are you filling up on in your mind? Is it virtuous? Listen to 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own possession, for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies, the virtue of Him who called you, here it is, look what He's done, out of darkness into His marvelous light. What do you talk about? What are you proclaiming? Is it God's virtue? His excellence? And that's not just your words, that's your walk. Some say this is a God-given ability to perform heroic deeds. Sounds like living God's way to me. The second one, knowledge. Now there's a few words for knowledge, but this reminded me of Philippians 3:8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Compared to knowing Christ, all else is dung. That's the one. I won't go there. So count accordingly. Do the math. Understand and live wisely. The third one, self-control. Are you mastering your desires and passions, especially your sensual appetites? Galatians 5 calls self-control a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces it. What have you been focused on? What have you been thinking about? What have you been proclaiming? What have you been filling up on? What have you been counting on? See how these, in some ways I think these build, but I don't know that's has to be thought of this way. You might think of it as growing, and you know, but it's still pointing to the last one the most, I think, and ultimately Christ. Look at the next one, steadfastness, perseverance, patient endurance. James 1, count it pure joy, or count it all joy. I'll never forget Steve, years ago, I asked him, how you doing? He said, pure joy. So every time I read this verse, I can see Steve say, pure joy. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Are you meeting trials? Faith not tested will not grow. Are you willing to step out in faith and take the risk when God tells you? Get beat up a little bit for it. Meeting trials. It goes on, verse 4, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If I think about that virtue and that knowledge and self-control and that steadfastness, I'm learning to hold on. 1 Timothy 6, he's talking about the love of money and things to flee from. He says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, the next one, faith, love, and steadfastness and gentleness. So godliness, that would be reverence or respect or holiness. You're becoming more Christ-like. Brotherly affection. This is the Philadelphia word in the Greek, the transliteration. Spelled the same way for some concordances as our American city. Brotherly kindness, mutual affection. Look at Romans 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hate what is evil. You see evil on TV or you hear about it, you're listening to it, do you hate it? Or are you like, let me see how close I can get to this and watch it a little longer and talk about it a little more, celebrate it even. Woohoo, did you see that? You got him back, yeah. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. And here's God, it sounds like God saying, let's have a competition. Outdo one another in showing honor. And if they give you the humble award, don't wear it. But the second greatest command is to love our neighbor. And Christ commands us to love one another as He has loved us. And finally, love. The greatest command is to love God with all of who you are and all that you have. The sum of the fruit of the Spirit is love. I think, you can test me on this, this is my way of defining it. Love is seeking the best for someone. The better we know the best, the better we can love. But I want you to know, without God's precious gift of faith, you can only love so far. We're dead in our sin. No one seeks after God. And so I might want the best for my family, but the best I can see is maybe the American dream or everybody get along. But when He gives me that gift of faith, and He brings me out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light, and He causes me to be born again, then I go, oh, wow, look at God. Look how great He is. Look how awful my sin is. And how Christ alone is the one that makes the difference. Then you are free to make more choices, which includes turning and trusting in Christ, which includes growing in love. Because you see what is really, truly the best. It is God Himself. Everything else is rubbish. I encourage you to read 1 John 4 sometime today, 7 to 21, the last part of the chapter. Christian, we are to grow in love, becoming more and more like Christ with our every effort and our best effort. Why do we do that? Look at verse 8. For these qualities are yours and are increasing. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Which do you want? To be effective and fruitful, knowing Christ, and thus clear-sighted and remembering Christ, what He did, what He does? Or to be the opposite? To be ineffective, to be unfruitful, to be spiritually blind and have spiritual Alzheimer's about what He's done, who He is. Forgetful of the greatest peace and the greatest forgiveness, the greatest love. Listen, God's approval and acceptance of us, of you, Christian, is in Christ alone. But what does it do for my assurance when I see myself becoming more and more like Christ? Look at command number 2. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent. Now, that's a very similar word to what you saw in verse 5. Make every effort. But here, it is the command. Be diligent. To what? To confirm, to be sure, to be certain, to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, Peter tells us with a very simple word. I just said that. But this time, it's the command. Make every effort to be sure Christ has called you and chosen you. I want to read to you from Romans 8 and Ephesians 1 here. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Remember in verse 3, chapter 2 there, talks about Christ called us. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. And then as far as His election, look at Ephesians 1. I believe the Greek word probably looks a little bit like election. I hadn't looked at that in the last couple days. Anyway, verse 4 and verse 11. For He chose us in Him when? Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. Verse 11. In Him we also were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. His way. in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Do you see how precious our faith in Christ is? Do you know how precious His promises are? Do you understand how precious His commands are? You can spend eternity growing in His sight, growing in knowledge of Him and understanding, because Christ is God, and thus He is infinite and great and holy and the most precious of all. We often have received some gift we wanted and poured ourselves into learning to use it and take care of it. How much more can and should and will you do this with your faith in Christ? No church should help or allow anyone to think they're saved if they continue on in sin and refuse to grow in Christ. Now, I'm not saying that happens like that. There's a process there. It's a loving process. And we all need to keep ourselves in mind first. Deal with the log in your own eye before you try to deal with a speck in somebody else's. Every time I think about it, I think about trying to do surgery on somebody. Whack! Whack! It's a lot worse, actually, when you do it with God's Word. Our works cannot save us. Only Christ's work can do that. But our faith in Christ is proven by our works and His work in us. So in closing, make every effort to make certain Christ's call and choice of you. The more you grow up in Christ, the more you'll be assured of your entrance into Christ's eternal kingdom. And it'll be richly provided. What a wonderful way to live. The way to live. Know your Savior. Know your salvation. Know your sanctification. Know your Scripture. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You for the gift of faith. Thank You for those that You stir up, really any that are Yours to some degree or another, to go and share the gospel. Lord, help us to proclaim You in our life and in our words. Help us to add to our faith, to make every effort to continue to grow in our faith, the most precious gift You've given us. Because it helps us see You, the most precious of all. And one day that faith will be made sight. Ooh, Lord. Thank You. Challenge us the next step today. Set us free from the next lie today. And may we grow in the knowledge of Your grace and of You yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.